emergency?
He loves me so.
That funny honey of mine.
He ain't chic, and that's no physique. But Lord knows he
ain't got the smarts. Dun, 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 dun.
And we're gonna end it here because I don't know the rest.
Me either.
Chicago is my musical. Okay, musical.
I would love to see it, like, live.
Oh my god, I would die to see who's gonna play who, and they better eat that character up.
Eat it!
You better eat it up. You better eat it up.
Eat it up.
Eat it up.
Eat it up. Eat it up.
Oh my god. Hi, guys.
Did you miss us?
Did you miss us? Because I missed you. We did. Wow. Holy shit. We're here. Oh my god. We're Cocktail Murder.
Yeah. We talk about murder.
I guess, elephant in the room.
Yeah.
We just got back from a very long hiatus.
Yeah. And a long hiatus. It wasn't like long, but
no,
it was long.
It was a break that we had. A very
you know,
much
y'all,
needed.
Because, you know, life, period.
Life. It
lives.
And we had to get a handle on a few things, but now we're back.
We're better.
We have a handle on the things that we needed to get a handle on.
Kind of. Like.
Sure, but we're losing weight.
Can you tell?
Can you tell? We're skintier.
Are we?
Our boobs are perkier.
I don't think they really knew what we looked like before.
I know, just our heads. Maybe. Yeah. I think our heads is the last thing to go to.
That's okay. Whatever. We're back. Anyways. We're back and we're better. And we're just like, honestly, we're so – sorry, I'm going to turn this up, you guys. We're so excited to be here. We're so excited to be back telling you guys stories. So if you are new here, and our OGs can give you the spiel, but we are Cocktail Murder. We cover cases that include victims of color and Black victims because those specifically, because those are the stories that go left untold, unheard, I mean, just like under-investigated. And we felt like as people who are, we're already in the true crime community. We loved true crime. We just were not hearing enough cases about people that look like us, for one. And also, we just kind of felt like the cases that were about people that look like us or just people in our diaspora, right, were just like literally not investigated. Like it was the most fucked up investigations. Yeah. And so we just wanted to make sure that we brought those to light. And we wanted to make an emphasis on the cases or on the victims themselves. Because nobody seems to talk about them. Everyone seems to be obsessed with the murderers and the serial killers. And like, those are not the stories that we need to be telling.
No,
so.
Not at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, needless to say, though, we're here. We're back and we're better. And in the beginning, we have our belligerent. An important thing is we drink. Let's take the shot.
Yeah, we put the cocktail in Cocktail Murder.
Yeah. Let's take the shot. We'll be taking the shot of Crown Apple,
which our brother left in our freezer. So it's not really that good, but we'll drink it anyways because it's here.
It's here. let's take this. So let's cheers it in. Oh my God.
We haven't cheers it in so long.
I know, or cheers it out, but let's cheers to the new beginning.
New beginning.
Of Cocktail Murder.
Nice. Always gross.
Nice.
And you guys see we have like, liquor is always nasty.
Why do we drink?
I have no idea.
Why?
Because then it's like so fucked up because it's so gross that you want to drink enough to get drunk.
Exactly.
But then it's like you get drunk and then what? And then what?
Then what? Water?
And then you're just hungover for – now, it is fun, but then you're hungover the next day.
And then you hate yourself.
And you guys, part of my hiatus, I took a month off of drinking completely. And wow, like, is all I have to say. I will say it was nice to go to work on Monday without a hangover. You know what I mean? Yeah, it was nice to wake up on Sunday mornings. And, you know, I go to church, but I be going to church with hangovers. And, like, that's not cool, you know? Like, you know, so it's just, it was nice to not drink. And it was also nice. I still went out. I still hung out with my friends. And to be able to be around people and outside and to be sober, I thought it was going to be dreadful, but it honestly was not. Like, it was fine. I still had a great time. It was wonderful.
Yeah. No, that's good. I started for like a few days to not drink, and then I slipped up and I drank, and it was downhill from there.
You know what's funny? And I have to call you out on this. Oh, yeah. It's so funny because I started on April 1st.
Yeah.
Which was like a Friday. And then you were like, no, I'm going to start that like that Monday because fuck it. Like, why would I start on a Friday? I'm going to start the Monday before April 1st. And she was so like convinced that she was like going to start and get it popping. And there was just going to be no alcohol for a full month. And she was drunk that weekend.
And the moment, you know, I'm very introverted and like, why the hell am I getting invited
to everything, right?
Yeah, to everything during the time that I was like, you know what? I'm not going to drink. This time I'm just going to say no. And like, I'm not down to, you know, get fucked up this weekend.
Right.
And it's just like all of a sudden within literally April, so many birthdays.
A lot of birthdays.
Too much was happening. And I was like, well, I'm just going to drink. But I did take that time to, you know, work on some other things internally that I had to work on and, manage my finances. Oh my God. The worst. It's so good and it sucks though.
First of all, that was so ugly of me that I just did that. But that's what it feels like when you're trying to manage your finances.
Yeah.
It feels ugly because it's like, to be honest, like my whole approach to like budgeting was like, okay, I just need to make more money. But it's like, if you don't know how to manage your finances, it doesn't matter how much money you're making if you cannot fucking budget. Like, fucking budget.
Just budget it out. And
if you make $20 a week, budget that shit.
Figure out how to budget that out. And like, I'm doing great so far, but it sucks because like, life was so much better when I was recklessly spending.
Isn't it?
Life was easier. I was so ignorant to finances and I loved it. And now that I can't be ignorant and I have to check every notification that I get from my bank and, you know, figure out what's this and what's going here. And then, you know, this date is coming up. It's just like, ugh, ew, gross. Disgusting.
It is very annoying.
I just want to puke.
It's annoying. It's tedious. And like, honestly, when you start budgeting, you're like, oh, I really don't make that much. Huh?
Yeah, it's like,
like,
shit,
oh, the way I've been spending, why am I not in poverty right now?
Like, how did I make it through? How was I able to pay my bills?
Exactly. Yeah, no, exactly.
But since we've been gone, a lot has been going on. Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, and before we get started, you guys, I'm going to open one of our seltzers.
Oh, yeah.
You guys, once again, we are the Cocktail and Cocktail Murder. We did start off with a shot, but throughout this, we'll be drinking and things like that. So I'm going to grab one of our seltzers.
What are you gonna pick?
This is personally my favorite hard seltzer right now. It's from Ashland is what it's called. I have ginger peach.
I knew a guy named Ashland.
Was he cute?
That was my fake cigarette.
That sounds like a cute guy name. Definitely a cute white guy.
He's in the military now. He's white and black. I met him in middle school and he was okay looking. And now,
remember that white guy he dated? Sorry, what was his name? Oh, wait, you don't have to say his name if you don't want to.
No, I don't mind.
Oh, okay.
Which one?
The white guy when like you went to visit him and he had his family had like KKK. This is why we don't interracially.
Yeah, don't mix love and racism.
And white people.
Holy shit, yeah. He was for the cause, I think, but he could, I don't know.
Like him himself, he was like not racist, but his parents were not just racist. No, they were in the KKK.
Well, it was his sister's boyfriend. He had that shit tatted on his fucking cab.
Okay, how much did that scare you? Were you terrified when you saw that?
I was shocked. Going back and like seeing that was shocking. I didn't know what to do. It's nuts. I was young. I was 17, 18, because it was like right before college. Yeah. And God, I dated a lot of guys right before college. I was a wild girl. I have a lot of right before college stories.
Right, because when you about to, because you didn't go to college in California. No, you went to college all the way in Alabama. So you had to get all of that out the way, girl.
You know, I had to revisit and conclude some things for people. Oh,
including
man.
The racists.
Including the racists.
You know, that's I think that is probably so scary to me. Story. The people that do the white supremacists that don't That's scare so me crazy. Are the people with the fucking flags and like that. I just feel like you are overcompensating. That's what I feel like. But it's the quiet ones. It's the ones that secretly have the fucking KKK hood in their closet and the tattoos that nobody sees unless they're wearing, you know.
What's sad though is that like to think that he smiled in my face and it was really that was a weird weekend
for That's me. Crazy.
That was a very weird weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, what a time.
And he smiled in your face. We
sat down at the dinner table together. So it was me, the racist guy, and of course if he's around then that
Did
means
Did he pay for the meal?
That means the sister No, the mom cooked super dry steaks.
I mean, of course.
And then they didn't have utensils, but I'm not going to poverty shame.
No.
I'm not going to poverty shame cuz it's not like we had it, you know.
Oh, were
I mean?
They poverty?
Yeah. But
is that a word?
Yeah.
Not that being in poverty is funny, but when you're white and racist and part of your family's in the KKK and you're in poverty, that's kind of, funny. I'm sorry. That's hilarious.
Because
you think you're supposed to be better than other people, but you're in poverty.
You're
sorry.
Not, yeah. It just sucks because it's like he himself was a good guy. Not the racist.
I remember. Okay. Like I never really met him, but I remember you talking about him.
He really was a good guy.
And seemed like a
and
good guy.
I remember like walking in no, not walking in, but I remember FaceTiming him and he was in the middle of like an argument with his mom about like police brutality. And of course she didn't believe in police brutality.
Of course.
But he did. And of course, you know, he's like, what are you talking about? Like he's fucking her up right now. What are you saying? Like, so it was a whole thing and God, I wonder how he's doing. Is he well? Are you well?
Like, did he conform to his family or did he like or is well, he like really out there? You know, he's probably one of those like guys with like dreads and it's like he probably has himself an African fucking queen right
maybe,
now.
Maybe
that's the type of future I saw for that guy.
Yeah, I can totally see that from him. I could totally see that. But also, I don't know. Who knows?
Speaking of white supremacists, which I easily get you guys mixed up with conservatives, can we talk about how people are trying to regulate our vaginas right now?
Oh, my God. And the leak? What the hell?
Jesus Christ.
What the hell?
Himself
would never
is not okay with this.
Jesus Christ himself would never.
He would never. God.
Yeah.
Do you think Jesus accidentally got someone pregnant? What if he accidentally got?
You know what? That's a great.
Because let's be real. Jesus was a human.
He was a human.
Okay.
Being.
He was a human being.
Did he ever have sex?
Did he ever have sex? Do we know this? Why would that even be written anywhere that Jesus had sex? No, because he was supposed to be like this perfect person.
I think Jesus might have, if he wasn't having sex, he was definitely yanking his dick.
I'm about to Google, did Jesus sin? Because if he ever sinned at all,
well, there
that
is,
nigga was having sex.
There was like a thing going around that he had a wife. Remember that?
Yeah, I heard that Mary, Mary Magdalene?
Magdalene, right?
Or was that his mom?
No, oh, no, I think Mary Magdalene was the one who, like, delivered the message that Jesus was rising.
Yes, her. But that's what I heard. That was his wife. That's, I don't know. I don't think that was, like, explicitly in the Bible, but historians have said that.
Anytime I would rehear, like, you know, that's the normal Easter Sunday story. Anytime I would hear that, I'm always like, who the fuck is Mary Magdalene? And why is she so close to the family?
Yeah. She was so close. She was also the woman that washed his feet with her tears.
Was it?
That was Mary Magdalene.
And I wash your teeth with my tears. With my tears.
And dried them with her hair. Was she thirsty? Was Mary Magdalene thirsty?
Who? Why? What man's feet am I going to wash with
Let's
my
make
tears?
Sure we're talking about the right Mary.
Martha.
Then Mary took out a pint of pure nard. Okay. So it's me. Oh, wait. Was it Martha's sister or Mary Magdalene? Who bathed Jesus' feet? I don't know. It was the Mary that washed his feet. There's yeah. Mary. There's Mary Magdalene. I don't know which one is which. Yeah. But anyways.
Clearly it was
yes.
a common name.
But no one has talked about this. That was thirsty as fuck. Was
That's
it not?
Quite thirsty.
Was it not?
That's quite thirsty. There's another story.
And Jesus
Bible.
Was like, it was like at a party. And he yeah. was like with his friends.
And
she just
walked
over.
And the message of that is like, oh, like you're so desperate to... I don't know, like to praise him or
yeah,
like,
it was just like she like loved
him
Jesus
so much
that
she was in love with him.
She was in love with Jesus.
She was in love with him because I love you as my sister. I die for you. For
I sure. would die for you.
A bitch, I'm not washing your feet, period, with or without tears. I'm not washing your feet.
No.
No.
Would you
no
wash
way.
Would you wash your man's feet?
Damn, I would. I would. I would.
Yeah.
Damn.
I would wash like I would wash my husband's feet.
I would wash my
feet. Current man right now yeah. would eat obviously like yeah. it would be great if we got married and he became my husband. So if he became a husband, I would wash his feet. Uh-huh. But that is actually a tradition that people do at weddings.
Yeah.
Some people do that. They wash their husband's feet at the reception. I've seen it before. It's interesting. I think that we're kind of past those kinds of traditions.
Yeah.
But if I had to do it, fuck. Yeah, I guess I would. I probably wouldn't like it, but
yeah.
I'd do it for my man.
Yeah. So going back to our
yeah.
Yeah. and men. Honestly, like, I wish I had more info on it. Like, I can't believe that it's happening. And
oh, you're talking about the leak. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Or going towards it happening.
So yeah, I don't have like a ton of information on it about the leak itself. I just know that it was a draft
that
was leaked. And basically, if you guys don't know what we're talking about, they're trying to overturn Roe versus Wade.
Yeah.
Roe versus Wade is the law that was put into place that allowed abortions.
Yeah.
I personally, I'll say this out loud. I'll say this to anybody. I am pro-choice.
I'm pro-choice too.
Yeah. And I want to be clear that that does not mean that I'm like pro-killing babies or pro-not killing babies. I am pro-choice. I am pro, you do what the fuck you need to do. Period. Like,
you know
that's
what
it is.
I like how you say that because I feel like there is a miscommunication
yeah.
in what pro-choice is.
Yeah.
They think, oh, choice meaning either get an abortion or not. There is
right.
no, it's, there's no black and white. There's the gray area where people could literally choose whatever the hell they want to do with their bodies. Why people who are not pro-choice and they say they're pro-life, which is like not even the opposite of choice.
Which is not, that's not what choice, like, come
you're,
on.
You are pro taking away a basic human right to
right.
just be at free will.
Exactly.
And I'm like, I'm so against that. I'm so against that. I can have my own opinions with my body of what I would like to do if
yeah.
I'm pregnant based off of my circumstance. But you have nothing to do with what the fuck I want to do. Just like I have nothing to do with what the fuck you want to do.
Exactly.
It's mind your fucking business.
Period.
Like,
that's it. That's
it's just
all.
Crazy because like I would
that,
go on
that,
TikTok.
I think that is – that's my thing is like I just feel like why are you not minding your own motherfucking business?
Exactly.
And what is the issue there? And there has been so many videos and I said – I showed you this the other day and I'm like, we'll play this. we'll play this video. It's of this guy and they're at a pro-life rally, and I don't know exactly what city they're in, but these people have like this, these women have this adopt, like choose adoption sign, and he goes and it's like five different women and he's like, have you adopted? And one lady's like, no. And the next lady's like, no. And the next lady's like, no. So it's like, if this doesn't even like, this doesn't ha- so even have anything even, to do with you.
You're not even fully active.
Yeah. It's like, why are you so like worried about what somebody else is doing? This has literally has nothing to do with you. And like two of them, or at least one of them is like, no, I have kids of my own. Okay. So what do these women that are going through whatever they're going through have to do with you and your life? Like it's just crazy to me. It's crazy.
I have a question. Like, how do you feel about okay, so I know of someone who is a nurse, or was, whatever her situation is now. She decides if someone comes in and asks for an abortion, she won't do it. And she'll just ask another nurse to do it because she's pro-life. What do you think about that?
Ooh. On one hand, this is your job. So why not do it? But on the other hand, my thing is like, as long as she is giving them to someone else. It's just, it's not in my hands. Like if you just, if you simply do not believe in it, if you do not believe in something, you shouldn't have to be the person
to do it.
To do it. I think that a lot about attorneys that fucking, that they, like criminal attorneys, sometimes you don't have, you shouldn't have to take like these cases. Mm-hmm. Like this person is clearly a serial killer and has raped a million people. So like, what the fuck? But no, but do I think that people who are pro-life are – there's something wrong with them? Yeah. So that is why that is a weird situation because, like, why the fuck? Like, it doesn't matter the reason.
They're making it religious. And if you really want to be religious, God gave us free will to do what we want. So you're already going against him by not giving people the free will to – do as they see fit in their life, you know. And as far as like that,
well, these are the same people, the people that are using it as religion are the same people that have told me personally, like when it came to the COVID vaccine, my body, my choice. I have a coworker, oh my gosh, that has literally told me getting the COVID vaccine is a going against God's will, and it could quite possibly be a sin because he believes in the conspiracy that it fucks up your DNA, and God has made us perfect in his eyes. So if we fuck up our DNA, then it's a sin. It's like a whole thing. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
That's why I have never met someone who is pro-life. That has been a regular fucking person. Yeah. They've all been either white supremacists or like super Trump supporters
or very
conservative,
extremely conservative, super extremists,
extremists to the maximum. I have never met a pro-lifer who has just been a normal, regular fucking person. And that doesn't mean liberal or anything. Yeah. I mean, just someone who is like me. I consider myself neutral. I feel like I'm right in the middle. And like, if you are right in the middle, that is just one of those things where it just feels like, why should I be worried about what someone else is doing? There are so many reasons why women get abortions. And it's not just because they feel like they fucked up and had a baby and so now they don't want a baby anymore,
right.
Which is still a valid reason. If you fucked up and the condom broke and you got pregnant and you're not ready to have kids, guess what? You should be able to have an abortion.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's like, it, there's just so many reasons that abortions should be legal. And
so many great reasons.
To make it illegal is probably one of the most evil things I've ever heard of.
I think whether you're a man or a woman who's even pro-life, like to have a law only affect one group of the population, you have to be considerate.
And that's the thing, they're not working on like women who do have children. Nobody, like people who are struggling with kids, they're not getting the help that they need. So really,
money,
you're not pro-life. You're really not pro-life.
There's that no it's money, just nor donations towards it. You know how many medical
plans? No money, no adoption, no insurance, no nothing. Like, you know nothing. How
many medical plans I look at that deny infertility treatment?
That's just crazy.
They deny. They definitely deny. And if they do take it on 100% of the time, they only give you about $20,000 max. An infertility treatment, that's a lot.
Oh my gosh,
of
it's so,
it's
yeah.
It's so a lot expensive. Of money to get that treatment. Yeah. So it's just kind of like, so for the people who actually are for it and are for the world, I mean, we know about it. Come on, let's take a look at the case that we did on the Hart family with the adoptive children and then the adopted parents who adopted the children just for money and then in turn murdered the kids, likely because they didn't have money because they found their finances and they were completely so much in debt.
They were so in debt.
It's just kind of like the people who... The ones who are here, the kids who are here, they just have no resources or any help. And the parents who actually want to help and the people who are actually kind-hearted and would like to cater and nurture the life that is here, they don't even do anything to help.
I'll tell you one thing, and not to say that there's not any out there, but I have not seen yet. I have not seen one person who has been pro-life that has adopted.
Thank you.
That is financially taking care of a child in need.
Thank you.
That is even mentoring, even for free, a child in need. I have not come across one. Yeah. And again, that's not saying that they're not out there, but I personally have not come across one yet.
Yeah.
So I would like to know really if you are pro-life or not, because bringing a child into poverty is wrong. I think that that's child abuse. Bringing a child into a world where they're possibly not going to be loved.
No.
Because that happens.
That happens often.
That's not okay.
Just, and not only that, honestly, just let people fucking be. Stop making things so political. I feel like
that's true.
In the past 5 years,
so political.
Have been extremely political. Maybe because it's social media and everyone feels like that they just have the platform.
It's like pick a side. Exactly. Like that's what it is. That's what social media is.
Don't have to be black and white. It's okay to stay in the gray area. And also, if someone gets an abortion, you don't have to view them as a fucking evil human being and a murderer. What are you talking about? They're not.
And y'all conservatives be getting abortions too. Y'all be motherfucking lying.
Y'all are lying or considered an abortion at some point.
So are you kidding me? Be getting abortions. Y'all be having your little fast ass little daughters getting abortions. Yeah. Okay. Like, come on. Like, let's be real. Let's be fucking real. The only thing that's going to happen. Oh, we don't have a lot of time left. The only thing that's going to happen if Roe versus Wade gets overturned, like, there's going to be a whole lot more medical issues when it comes to women that have gone to back alleys trying to get a fucking, like, rigged abortion.
There's going
to
be deaths. And it's going to be so your fault.
Sad. It's going to be your fucking
fault. It's going to be your fault. And now who's the murderer? You.
You. And you said you're pro-life.
Fuck out of here.
The fuck?
Take that to God.
Let me tell you guys, we had so much more to go in on that topic,
so
but
more.
we don't have all the time in the world.
Well, not now. We don't have time now.
But we're back. We're back in action, and we will continue on that topic more.
Yeah. And then,
because we got a lot to say.
Hey,
okay?
You know what? Honestly, if you are pro-life, I would like to hear your position. Honestly.
And why? Like, why are you pro-life?
Why are you
because
pro-life?
Because a fetus like, is Look, see, I'm about to go in. I'm about to go in.
Well, I'll say I'm open to hearing. I really am open. Shit, or if you're pro-choice, like, what's your stance on this situation? And make sure you email us, cocktailmurder@gmail.com. Give us your position, and then if you'd like, we can read it out loud on here. But... now,
we're going to get into the nitty gritty.
We're going to get into what we've all been waiting for. this evening we are, or this morning, or this afternoon, we are discussing the case of Maitrece Richardson, the bizarre, mysterious, unusual
it case is unusual
of Maitrece Richardson.
And you guys, if you, once again, if you're an OG and you've been following us since Instagram live yeah. days, you may remember this case. We have covered it there, but we wanted to bring it back because it's so interesting, and it's one of our faves, honestly.
So let's get into it. Maitrece Richardson was born on April 30th, 1985, to Latice Sutton and Michael Richardson. Maitrece's parents met in high school and became pregnant their senior year.
Whoa.
Let me tell you something. Something that I've thought about recently. How many parents, like back in the day, what the fuck was y'all doing? Why were you guys having children so young? I'm 24 right now.
We were so
young. What were y'all
young.
Doing with three kids at 24? I don't understand it. I don't get it. This is why abortions didn't even be. Because what? Hell no.
Like, that was like the norm. It was like graduate high school,
and then
have
start a
kid.
Family.
Like, what the fuck was
get
that?
Married, start a family.
You don't even know who you are.
No, you don't. You don't even know what you like. Okay, so they were young, of course, and eventually things did not work out. Maitrece was then raised by her mom and stepdad in Covina, California. According to friends and family, Maitrece was the life of the party. She was known to be a, quote, clown, a ham, a princess, a brat, and most of all, a dancer.
Oh, are you describing me?
I was going to say, it kind of reminds me of you.
No way, really?
No, swear to God. No, you are. Because, well, just super extroverted, like, and life of the party.
I am a brat. I will say that. I know that for a fact. I'm a brat.
She's a brat.
I try not to be, but I'm like...
It gets annoying. So, she...
Does it? If you guys don't know, we're roommates as well. Yeah. So, obviously, she
would
know.
Brat. I just be sitting there like, tune her out.
Is that what you do?
Good luck to her next man.
Okay, we're about to start literally fighting. You know what? Not good luck to my next man, because my man right now, he's the one that be making me more of a brat.
He does. He condones it.
I am literally like a little princess.
What does he do? What is it called? He enables you. Okay. So, she was kind of a bougie girl.
You hear that, Mark?
She didn't like outside.
Oh, no. I fuck with outside. I fuck with outside. I like outside.
Okay, so...
Wait. Are we talking about outside or outside? Like, yes,
outside. She said there's too many bugs. And
sorry. This is a really serious case.
It is. Okay, hold on. All right. Let's get through this. She said there was too many bugs and would rather watch TV or write in her journal. She was a cheerleader, dancer, and pageant princess. Ooh. She kept all of her grades up and was the first in her family to go to college.
Well, see, that don't sound like me.
She attended Cal State Fullerton, where she graduated with a 4.0 and majored in psychology.
It's definitely not me, baby girl. Shout out to her.
Yeah,
that's a hard feat. Like, that's 4.0, like, going to college. Like, I just remember being in high school. And to be honest, when I was in high school, I gave up on college. By the time I was, like, a junior, I gave up on college. So it was, that's a big thing to accomplish.
Okay, so she was pretty and popular in a nutshell. She always posted pictures of her being out with friends at clubs and restaurants. She had a girlfriend that was a boxer. She held down two jobs. She worked as an executive assistant by day and was a go-go dancer by night. She was pretty much living her best life. She had a good work life and good social life.
Okay, so on the evening of September 16th of 2019, Maitrece entered the Jeffrey's restaurant in Malibu, California. If you haven't been to Malibu, I mean, it really is so pretty.
It's like, gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. It's right on the water. Yeah. I mean, it's beautiful.
Especially taking the one highway. experience.
Yeah, but I, yeah, though, yeah, yeah. But let me tell you guys, it's overpriced and it's really not worth it. It's beautiful, but it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Me and Mark went to a cafe and he ended up spending like $200 at a cafe.
That's nuts.
It wasn't even like food, yeah. You know, like that was annoying. But anyways. Yeah, right, exactly. So anyways, the staff at the time noticed suspicious behavior coming from my Trice. For example, when my Trice pulled up in her Civic, she then proceeded to mutter under her breath that she needed to, and I quote, avenge the death of Michael Jackson. Which is odd. Like,
that, okay.
It's like, what do you say? You know?
Weird.
Yeah. She asked if her friend with tattoos had already made it to the restaurant, as if the waitstaff knew who she was talking about. You know, some people might find that weird, but not that I've ever been like, oh, my friend with the tattoos is here. But when you're meeting up with a group, like, I will go to the restaurant and be like, oh, hey, I'm meeting with so-and-so, or I'm meeting, I've said before, like, I'm meeting, it's like a group of black people. Like, and like, you know, yeah. They know exactly who I'm talking about, so it works. But yeah. She left her table during the night, or during her like dinner time. She left a table of one and joined a table of seven. And this was a table of seven that she did not know. These were strangers. She tried to make conversation with them, and it was allegedly like unintelligible. So that is that's like weird, right? Like going over to a group of seven people and trying to make friends is not the odd part. It's like trying to make conversation. It's kind of like, oh, okay, don't kill me for this. Kind of like crackhead behavior, right?
Yo, it's just
Like you come over, you hear someone talking, but they're not intelligible. Like you don't know what they're saying. They're kind of mumbling under their breath.
Yeah,
like it's just it's kind of weird. And then after a while, you kind of just like don't like pay. You try to ignore them in hopes that they just walk away, type of thing. Okay, so after what seemed like nonsense, my Trice gathered herself to leave the restaurant without paying her tab of $89. The manager stopped her and asked how she wanted to proceed with paying the bill, which, damn, like, you caught her walking out the door? Like, was he watching her walk out the door? My Trice said that the other table, the table of seven, would cover her.
Which is a genius idea.
Which is kind of smart.
If you want to dine and dash. They got me over there. They already said it.
Like that's so smart.
That's so smart.
I'm definitely doing that next
maybe
time.
Maybe she just walked over there just to like act like, oh yeah, we're friends.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna stand here and talk to you.
Right.
And then I'm gonna leave and they're probably like, huh?
What? Yeah, what?
And
what?
Then, so that it literally looks like.
Yeah. And then she's like, oh, no, they're paying for my tab. So she can walk out. That's crazy. That's so smart. But unfortunately, that didn't work in this case. The excuse didn't work, and basically when they were like, no, she said, and I quote, I'm busted, and then she proceeded to pull out a joint, which is, like, hella cool, and just, like, started to smoke it.
Like, damn.
Like, fuck it.
We're fine.
Exactly. The manager called the LA Sheriff's Department to describe a young woman who was not going to pay her tab, who is acting strange, and he said she may be on drugs. First of all, I didn't know that you call the police if you didn't pay your tab. What happened to like doing the dishes?
Or taking a photo and you being banned.
Yeah, and just putting it up on your little
the no service list. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Hella weird. Okay. So anyways, where am I? Okay. Okay, at about 9 p.m. on September 16th of 2009, the Lost Hills deputies, Frank Bauer and Armando Lurero, and John McKay, did I say that? they arrived. They gave my Trice a sobriety test, and it turned out that my Trice was completely sober. So that is like kind of a shocker because everybody in the restaurant basically thought that she was on drugs or she was super drunk or something, whatever. The deputies found, the deputies searched her car, which was the Civic, and they did not report finding a cell phone, wallet, or money. However, they found partially finished bottles of booze and made the statement that Maitrice was possibly drunk, making odd statements. Which we know is fucking weird, right? Because they gave her a sobriety test.
Yeah.
And she was sober. And it didn't, like, they weren't saying that, like, she was drunk, or they weren't saying that she was on drugs. They were saying that she was drunk. And so for them to just be like, to feel like, oh, she is drunk after you give her sobriety test, isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like the little details in this case is what makes it really like, what
unusual,
is really going on here?
What's happening?
Okay, so yeah, so they ended up charging her for not paying her meal, which, again, I had no idea that that was even a thing, and I think that that's fucked up for $89. Yeah. We're gonna charge you for what? For eating? Like, what did she even possibly have to eat?
Yeah.
And this is a Malibu restaurant. I'm assuming she had, like, a fucking salad and
a drink.
Yeah, like,
a salad and maybe a bread.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. I don't know. Okay. 25 minutes. Oh, I'm sorry. It's called theft of service is basically what it's called. 25 minutes from Jeffries, Maitrice was taken into custody at the Lost Hill station. Semi-important fact is that in 2006, Mel Gibson was taken into custody at the same station for drunk driving. But he was later given a ride to his car. So that's important to remember. He was given a ride to his car after drunk driving. Okay. So back to 2009. Lettice, who was Maitrice's mother, reasoned that one night in jail for her daughter would count as, like, not count, but, like, she was like, okay, it's been enough. She spent a night there. Let me go get my daughter. Yeah. Which is funny because mom has always told us, like, if you go to jail, I'm not picking you up. But it's funny because, well, actually, I went to jail. She did not pick me up. Let me tell you, she didn't even pick up my phone call.
She did not pick up the phone call. No.
So shout out to my Teresa's mom because
my
mama show wasn't gonna pick me up or answer my phone call.
No, shout out to our brother who is always there.
My brother had to bail me out.
That we need him the most. Love you, RJ. You are literally the glue to this family.
He literally picked me up and refused to talk to me because obviously, why the fuck was my little sister in jail?
Refused to talk to you. Oh, that's so funny.
It's fine. It's fine. I knew I was in trouble. I didn't even do it, but whatever. Anyway.
That's so funny. We promise.
And let me tell you, though, one night in jail is enough. And I spent three. Okay.
Oh, hell no, bitch. Got
arrested
on a weekend.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly.
Lord have mercy.
One night would have been enough because my first night, I was like, good. Somebody, please,
please
get me out of here. I was crying, and one of the girls was like, you don't need to cry. It's okay. I was like, oh my God.
Hey, bitch, I'm not you. We're not on the same level, bitch.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Okay, so basically, yeah, like, her mother was basically like, I'm just going to let her spend the night here as an act of, like, tough love type shit. Like,
I
mean, to be honest, I'd probably do that. Yeah, I'd probably do the same. The deputy assured Lettice that her daughter would be safe because she was going to pick her up the next morning. And she had told the deputies that, too, because she did receive a phone call. So she's like, I'm just going to pick her up in the morning, whatever. They're like, OK, she'll be fine. She'll be safe. No big deal. Lettice wanted to be there when her daughter was released because, and this is her own words, she's not from that area. And I would hate to wake up in the morning report with a report saying girl lost somewhere with her head chopped off. So she was already concerned. Her daughter was in an area that she is not familiar with. So once again, she wanted to be there as soon as her daughter was released. I'll tell you one thing. When I went to jail and in Clark County, Nevada, Las Vegas, when I was released, It was literally in the back of, like, it looked like a warehouse, and there was nothing there. There was literally nothing, and I received my phone back, but it was dead. And so I was like, I can't call anyone right now. I was by myself, and I was close to the Golden Nugget, the most like ghetto casino in Las Vegas. And I'm like, let me walk towards here so I can find a bathroom to go in and sit in until I can figure out what the fuck to do. As I was walking to the Golden Nugget, which was like across the street, basically, or it wasn't even across the street. I had to have another inmate that was released with me drive me there. But anyways,
wow.
Yeah, it was all bad. It was all bad. As I was walking down the street, a cop stopped me again.
Are you serious?
Yeah, well, it was dumb. Like, I was in my going out clothes from the night that I got arrested, so I looked a little like, I looked like a hooker.
Yeah.
And so he thought I was a hooker walking down the street, and so he stopped me. Luckily, like, he was like, oh, okay, whatever, and then he kept it pushing. But I was able to get to the Golden Nugget and call my brother. But it was like, it's just like, it's a scary thing.
Yeah.
You're by yourself. Your phone is dead. You have, like, you can't call anyone. And you are literally released with, like, five other people who just got released that are probably not released for the same shit that you got released for.
It's, you guys are in a lump sum. You're released with them.
Exactly. It's scary. It's a scary thing. And so I could imagine her mom being like, I want to be there as soon as she walks out that door,
absolutely,
you know, just to make sure that she's okay.
Yeah.
So, okay. Maitrice only had her great grandmother, Mildred's phone number memorized. And therefore she tried calling her four times according to the station's logbook. According to Mildred, her great-grandmother, her phone never rang. But that is actually really odd because the deputies recalled Maitrice talking on the phone as if she was connected to someone on the other line.
Oh, wow.
So they said that they like physically saw her speaking to someone on the phone, but the only person that she would have called said that her phone never rang. So that is just so fucking weird.
Yeah, that's very weird.
Maitrice called from a non-recording line, therefore we don't know whether or not she was actually connected to someone. So that's the weird part. We know that she had called out to this number. We know that she was talking to someone on the phone.
So this is a crazy fact that I know. I don't know how true it is, but based off of Halle Berry's movie, what is it, 911
something like that, but she was a 911 operator.
Yeah, so the girl that got kidnapped, she ended up, you know, having like a prepaid phone, and they are unable to track it and like,
oh yeah it's like a burner
it because it was a burner phone. So what is Maitrice, I'm assuming, had a burner phone. I don't know.
Oh, well, she was calling from the station.
Oh, that's right.
But who knows if her grandmother had an Obama phone.
Yeah.
Which could be a burner phone.
Yeah.
You know, there's that too.
It's hard to like track that.
Yeah, but even then, it was a non-recorded line. So again, all they can see is that a phone call was made out.
Yeah.
They don't know if somebody was actually on the other line. So her great-grandmother is like, I never talked to her, but they physically saw her talking to someone, and she only made phone calls to this one number.
Oh, that's odd.
Yeah, so that's crazy, you know? Like, what is that? At 5:35 a.m., Maitrice's mother, Latisse, called the station. 5:35 a.m., very early in the morning.
Yo, no, yeah.
So it's
she
not it's not hours later.
She
yeah, it's
sleep.
It's 5:35 a.m., or it's not like a whole, like, days later.
Yeah.
She was told that Maitrice was no longer there. From that day, Maitrice will then go missing for 11 months. What the fuck?
After pleading, and I'm sure was raising high hell with authorities, found out that Maitrice had been released around 12 a.m. that morning.
remember, she got there around 5 in the morning. So this is like...
So this is hours.
This...
And 5 o'clock in the morning, meaning she's thinking, I'm going to set my alarm, if she even went to bed, to make sure that I'm up so that first thing in the morning, I'm going to go get her.
And let's remember, too, she got arrested around 9 p.m.
Yeah.
And they're saying she was released at 12 a.m. That's just a couple of hours.
Yeah. So, Latisse immediately asked to file a missing persons report, but was told she couldn't until it had been 24 hours.
That's crazy.
This investigation was pretty much botched from the beginning. On the day of Matrice's disappearance, at 6:30 a.m., police received a call from Bill Smith, not Will, but Bill.
We didn't even. We haven't even talked about Will Smith.
We haven't even. There's so much that happened when we were gone. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
I'm sorry. But.
But it wasn't Will Smith. It was Bill Smith.
It was Bill Smith. Bill Smith.
Wait. I'm sorry. Do you think his name was William?
Bill?
Do you think that Bill is his nickname? It is. Because you know Bill is the nickname for William.
It is also.
Wouldn't that be some shit?
Or it's just Bill. Billion. I don't know. Who knows? William Bill Smith, who lived 6 miles away from where she was last seen, saying there's a slim black woman with afro hair laying on his backyard steps. He asked if she was okay, and she replied, I'm just resting. He walked over to the next window for a better view, and that's when she disappeared. Deputies came to his home, but couldn't find any trace of Matrice.
Any trace? Trying to piece this all together as we're talking
about
it.
Me too, because we've reread this a couple times.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, still don't know what the fuck happened.
Yeah,
okay.
It feels like there's so sketchy. Many unanswered questions.
Yeah, so... It wasn't until 2 days after Matrice's mother filed a missing persons report did they conduct a formal search. Latisse said that they were promised a full, massive 2-day search with helicopters, search dogs, and pretty much every resource they have. But on the day of the search, the only resource that showed up was 4 deputies and a search dog that canvassed the neighborhood. Here's what they found. Search dogs picked up her scent, and it led to the home adjacent to Bill Smith's home. They found her footprints and could clearly see where it went from walking to running, and then a complete stop, as if she just had vanished from thin air.
That is so scary.
And you know what? In most of, like, missing cases that we read about or just come across... as a whole in general, and when they do find footsteps, it's always that they see footsteps and then it comes to a point where
there's just no more,
where there's nothing,
just no more.
What the fuck is that?
You know what I am questioning, and what's weird, I'd never questioned it before, were there any other footprints? Were there any, was it literally just because they were looking for her footprints?
Yeah.
But did they look for other footprints alongside her or behind her footprints or anything?
Coming from
an angle or anything.
I don't think so. I don't know. Well, we don't know. After 8 hours, they called off the search. This was a complete slap in the face to Matrice's family. Duh. Days turned into months and no sign of Matrice had been found. It's like after 8 hours, you just call off the search completely.
Like, we're done. Like,
that's so unfair.
It's over.
After 8 hours. That's 8 hours is literally a work day. So that just means their shift ended and they're like, okay,
yeah, exactly.
We're going to close it out now.
Exactly.
Which, and I say this so many times.
And that's the fucked up thing, too, is, like, also we do have to look at it from a resources perspective. Like, do we have money to give you for overtime?
But
because remember, it's a job. Right. All of these jobs are just jobs. People are there to clock in and clock the fuck out.
But I think that's so messed up.
It is.
Like, with
it's wrong.
These positions, I think there should be more. That's why we always say defund the police.
Right.
To go into the investigation portion or to have money to
more
give
resources.
Overtime for the actual investigators to do their fucking job. Like, it's...
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Her case was initially assigned to LAPD Missing Persons Unit, but it was then reassigned to LAPD's Robber Homicide Division because apparently they had better resources. What the fuck?
Robber Homicide? To go... I'm sorry. To go from missing persons to robber homicide, like...
And how the hell would a robber homicide have anything to do with a missing persons case?
Wait, what does a robber homicide have to do with this?
It's so stupid.
But, you know, whatever. They had better resources. But it's still like... Maybe. But wouldn't their resources be a little bit different than the missing person? I don't know. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, not only would it be different, but also maybe, I guess playing devil's advocate, maybe they just mean that they have more people and more time.
Yeah, maybe.
To conduct a search than
maybe.
We do.
Yeah. But we also know how...
This is Los Angeles County.
Yeah, for one. And for two, we have seen time and time again how information is not relayed properly between departments.
So true.
So, when they took it from missing persons to a robber homicide, investigation, I'm assuming that they didn't even know what they were fucking looking for. They were probably just looking for a black girl. The guy said she had afro hair. This is what we're looking for. But it's really important to know the details of the case.
Yeah.
When you're out here looking for clues for a case, and that's just something that does not happen between. Yeah. When it comes to state to state, department to department, I don't know.
No,
it's all fucked up. Fucked up.
There's definitely a lot of line of miscommunication.
Yeah.
The LAPD started to contradict themselves. They had told the family, the press, and their superiors that Maitrice was completely lucid and didn't exhibit any mental health problems, and that's why she was released. However, in the initial statement, they said her behavior was manic and they knew something was wrong. They felt it was best for her safety to be held in the station. Then they said she was released because the jail was too full.
Too full.
Then finally, one of the jailers said she was released because there was no reason to keep her. They also said when her car was searched, they only found her ID and remnants of weed. Later on, we find that they found her cell phone, debit card, and with $2,000 on the debit card. That's awesome.
$2,000.
And they also found her ID. And I just want to say this. It sucks because, sure, they might have just released her because they didn't have a reason to keep her. And it sucks that they initially locked her up. If your reason of releasing her is because, hey, you know what? You didn't technically do anything wrong and you really don't belong here, why was she initially arrested? And that's sticking out to me.
No, yeah, that's...
It's what's the point of being initially arrested then?
Exactly.
If you're just going to release me based off of, not bail, but based off of, I simply don't even need to be there.
Right, exactly.
You know?
I agree. Yeah. I also wanted to kind of point out, I just had to look up Lost Hills because, you know, she was taken into Lost Hills, correctional
dirt,
whatever. There's nothing out there. Nope. It is a little bit closer to Bakersfield. Where the fuck is Malibu where she was?
It's Pismo Beach down here. Long Beach is right there, Anaheim, Santa Monica, so in that area.
Yeah, so first of all, she's very far from Malibu. They took her very far away from Malibu.
Extremely far from Malibu.
Yeah, and also, it's just there's nothing here.
It is right next to you. Wait, what part? What city is that? Did you see that? What kind of city is that?
Wait.
It said, Bartholomew, California. What the fuck is that?
Was it Button Willow?
Maybe. It's Bartholomew.
But yeah, so crazy to me how far away they brought her. And then they say the jail was too full. It's like, what the fuck is happening? And yeah. If she was in Malibu, I'm sorry, I need to look up, like.
Yeah, no, go for it.
I'm looking up the closest jail to Malibu right now.
Which is?
Okay, these are in San Diego.
Those are prisons. Jail. It would be an LA County jail.
Yeah.
Just look up LA County jail. See where that's located.
Yeah, I can't type. I said LA County Jail, not La Mesa.
Topanga. Yeah, boom, right in the heart of LA.
Yeah, that would have been so much closer. I'm really curious. Look, she was up here. And look at all these jails here.
So why did they take her to Los Hills? And those LA County jails are literally, yeah, that's in the vicinity of Malibu. Yeah, so what was she doing in Los Hills? That's, I never really looked at the map like that. That's
I don't know crazy. Why it just made me think of like where the fuck she went. Look, okay, so here's Malibu.
Yeah. Is that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was all the way up here by Bakersfield. But she was having dinner here in Malibu.
That's crazy.
Instead of taking her over here.
That's crazy.
They took her all the way up here. Okay, that's weird. I'm sorry. It's weird. It's fucking weird.
Like, from what I've heard, the only time people are so far away, unless they committed a crime in that county, because that's Bakersfield County. What the fuck?
Yeah.
What was she
doing in Malibu? Malibu is so much closer to here. And she went to jail all the way in Lost Hills.
That's Bakersfield. Wow.
That's crazy. Mm. Okay. Whoa. See what we're saying? Like the details in the investigation is like really where it gets fucked up, because it's like, if you look at it from an overall perspective, it's like, okay, maybe, well, I mean, we'll talk about what they basically closed it as, but when you look at the details, it's just like, there's just no way there wasn't any type of foul play during this.
It doesn't make sense. Foul play with the hands of the investigators as well.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it seems like. Okay, so Maitreza's family asked for security footage from the Lost Hills station and the incident reports from the night she went missing, but their requests were continuously ignored. For months, they were told it didn't exist. In March 2010, the video footage was somehow found in Chief Tom Martin's desk drawer.
Wow.
The family watched the tapes and immediately saw that it had been edited. I'm sorry. Now, all of a sudden, we find a tape in a drawer? Come on!
Why is it in a drawer?
In the words of Nicki Minaj, cut his fucking mic off! You know? Like, what?
All of a sudden,
you find a tape. Oh, it was in my drawer the whole time.
There is no way that is protocol.
What?
That's crazy.
What happened to an evidence room?
Is that not a thing? What the fuck?
Okay. The family watched the tapes and immediately saw that it had been edited. When they received the incident reports, they found that a lot of it was edited using whiteout. Super fucking sketchy.
Whiteout.
In the surveillance footage, Maitreza wasn't acting normal. She was pulling at the back of her hair. She was grabbing at the cell door and swinging back and forth. Latisse knew her daughter was having a manic episode. Shit, I would do what?
That's tough, man.
August 9th, 2010, 11 months after her disappearance, park rangers were patrolling a rough mountainous area searching for illegal marijuana.
Like, what the fuck? I'm sorry, you're searching for what?
Illegal marijuana.
I'm just gonna go back to our belligerent conversation. What the fuck is it your fucking business? Like,
mind your own. And first of all,
it's marijuana.
And not only that, like, that's your duty.
So that's your job?
Grown marijuana? Jesus Christ.
Jesus, like, come on.
Volunteers do that. Okay, so. Like, so they were making their way through a deep ravine when they came across a human skull. Deputies arrived around 3 p.m., 2 hours after they were called. They had to be taken down by helicopter because by a helicopter because the terrain was so rough. They found Matrice's body, naked and partially mummified. Her clothes were scattered hundreds of feet away. A part of her right leg was broken and detached and found 6 feet away from the body.
Wow.
Her skull was detached from her neck. Mm. And resting upside down on her torso.
Upside down.
They found possible evidence of strangulation, but her body had been partially decomposed and had bones missing. So there was no way of confirming. Like, her body was so messed up, that they couldn't even determine her death.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I 11 months later, I mean, just like they said, they had to take a helicopter down to where she was, which, again, is very telling. How the fuck did her body even get there?
Right.
If you guys have to be helicoptered down to where her body is, how the fuck did she get there? I mean, again, after 11 months, I mean, imagine the decomposition of her body. Imagine her being outside and... You know, just like being exposed to the elements of the world, you know, it's just, that's hard when you find a body so much later, because how much can you tell from that?
Exactly.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Once again, the LAPD fucked up. They didn't collect blood samples, hair follicle.
it was what? You know what's crazy is it's not like you mispronounced
y'all know,
it.
Y'all know I be mispronouncing and stuttering on this.
You said it perfectly.
Follicles. I can't say it. It won't come out.
Oh my god!
It won't come out.
I'm sorry, that was hilarious.
It didn't come out. Hair follicles.
You said it. Like nervously, but I know you weren't nervous because you said it correctly.
I said what it was the in the back of my throat. It didn't come out. It wasn't pushing out.
Because the follow was great,
yeah,
but the cool was not. The cools wasn't. Okay. That's what we need to do, like a corner, like a reel of us mispronouncing.
Yeah. No, I think we should. So, they didn't collect blood samples, hair follicles, or even whatever substance was used to keep her body partially mummified.
What the fuck? Like, what the fuck?
What does that even mean? You didn't collect what? Partially mummified?
There was a substance?
Body in the middle of nowhere? Come on!
Oh my gosh, no hair fall, no nothing.
They stuffed her and her clothes in a body bag and airlifted her out of the woods before the coroner could even get there.
Oh my gosh, this pisses me off.
Opposite of proper protocol. Later on, people found her toe, fingers, and her mother even found one of her bones while setting up her memorial.
Could you imagine? Like,
no,
that's crazy.
Her bone, like, I mean, how traumatic is that?
Like, when that's she found so it, traumatic. I'm like wondering, like, did she know, like, in her heart, this is my daughter's bone, or was she like, because I'm assuming too, like, maybe she's still even looking for evidence,
for anything.
And so maybe she even picked it up, probably didn't even know exactly what it was, and probably took it to the police. I don't know. I'm just making up a story, but maybe this could help. And they're like, that's like one of her, you know, femur bones. Like, I don't know. Like,
this is her.
That's crazy.
That's fucked up.
That is fucked up. And then it shows too, like, how careless they treated the scene. For there to be more toes
and fingers.
Are you kidding me?
That's nuts.
You guys didn't clean up the toes and fingers?
No, that's nuts.
Come on. Let's, like, really, let's get it together.
Even after this, LAPD still gave the family the runaround, saying she could have been bitten by a rattlesnake and died from anaphylactic shock. Anaphylactic shock. What is that?
When you get bit by a rattlesnake.
Oh.
No, I think it's like a, I don't know exactly what it is, but I've like, it's like poison.
Oh,
you, like, I don't fucking know. You want me to look it up? You want me to Google it?
Sure. I don't care. So she could have been attacked by animals, but ultimately Matrice's death was ruled an accident. Anaphylactic shock is a rare but severe allergic reaction.
That can be deadly.
Oh, wow, if you don't treat it right.
I guess that is true. If you get bit by a rattlesnake, it is the allergic.
Or bit by just anything in general.
Like like people who are allergic to bees. Yeah. Like, that could be anaphylactic.
That makes sense. Like, on Bridgerton, the guy's dad who died.
Yeah, but, like, really? Like, he died. Like, that's how he died?
That's not honorable.
Like, that's how you lost your dad. Because of bee bit him. I need to know people who are allergic to bees and have gotten bit by a bee. Does it happen that fast? Because that shit happened quick.
It happens. Wait, hold on. That bee was thick.
It was a big ass bee.
That was a big bee. That was a big bee. I don't know what I would do if I saw a bee.
I don't even.
Like that.
I can't even fuck with little bees.
I know. I can't even think about it. Oh, please.
I was in the gym the other day.
No, what happened?
There was a bee. It was black and white, bitch. The bee was black and white, and it was fat.
Gym.
And it was like, it was
the
on
gym?
Yes,
no.
it was on the floor in gym, and was like, oh, it's a bee, and I'm like, that's a bee, and he was like, yeah, it's
it.
A different kind of bee. I was like,
step on it.
So he put a thing over it, stepped on it, picked it up, and like,
okay.
But I was like,
not one of those people that gracefully.
Yo, if he did that, I would have been pissed, because we don't need that in this world.
<I know.
laughs> Why do we need that kind of bee?
It's a deformity. Guards, take this one.
Okay. Should we drink some more?
Sure. Let me finish this.
I'll tell you one thing. This ginger peach was really good.
Really? I'll try that.
Just so you wanna try.
What did I have? Fruit punch.
I'm going to do orange pineapple. Look, I can't even tell. My favorite thing about these seltzers are, like, the aesthetic. Like, isn't it so
cute? No, it
cute?
Is cute. It's very cute.
They're so cute.
I kind of like it better. It looks grown.
It looks so grown.
You know,
it doesn't look
grown.
Like White Claw or Truly.
Yeah.
Like, it looks very, like, it almost kind of looks beerish, but it's not beer.
Right. Yeah. Seriously. Okay, this is interesting.
Yeah, the ginger peach is good.
Yeah. It's okay. I'll take it though. I've drank worse.
I just don't like my seltzers with a ton of like sweetener and like,
that makes sense.
Yeah, this is it really does just taste like flavored carbonated water.
Yeah. True.
Okay. So Maitrice's parents have maintained that their daughter should never have been released on her own by the LA County Sheriff's Department, just like, period, for a young woman. It's not like she was like super grown. It's not like she was like, it's just a woman, period, to be released by herself. And we looked up the map, middle of nowhere. She was in the middle of nowhere. And then on top of that, given her condition, her disturbed condition, because they were saying how kind of like odd and weird she was acting. So like, why would you release her, you know, given that? Also, we know that the LAPD just is,
a lot
about. We want to talk about corrupt organizations.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah. Okay. In 2011, the Richardson family settled a civil lawsuit with LA County privately for $900,000. In January of 2017, the California Attorney General's office concluded an investigation into the circumstances surrounding Mitrus Richardson's release from jail and decided not to bring charges against anyone involved in her release. So basically, they felt like no one did anything out of protocol that was wrong or anything like that. I don't know exactly what the protocol is, but I'm going to tell you, if your protocol is like, even if someone seems like they are mentally disturbed and it's okay to release them, you need to update that protocol. I'm sorry. That is crazy.
Yeah.
To think that, like, not only like from the restaurant, people felt like she was kind of acting weird to the time that she was put into jail
for no reason.
For no reason. That, like, literally they could have just called her mom and her mom could have came and helped her out, but whatever, they called the police. She went to jail, and even they said that she was like kind of disturbed, and you can see it on camera. There was surveillance footage that she was like kind of disturbed, and you guys released her anyways.
Yeah,
that's scary. But you know what, unfortunately, like, we don't know. We don't believe that she was on drugs, right? She was just like, the most that she did was smoke weed. But we do see addicts who are released back into the streets and are still addicts. And that kind of reminds me of that a little bit. When someone, like, we talk about crackheads all the time, when crackheads are released back on the street, and they, and a lot of times crackheads have mental health issues. A lot of them are schizophrenic. A lot of them have bipolar disorder and things like that. And, they're just released back into the street. They're not released back into anything but the street.
No programs.
No program, no help, no nothing. And then I remember when we talked about Mel Gibson and how when he was released from this same county jail and they brought him, they drove him back to his car. Like, why couldn't this young woman get the either the same treatment or a little bit of extra help? Like, listen, you stay here until your mom comes and picks you up.
She was a young woman. She was young.
Period. It's just crazy to me.
She was extremely young.
They treated her so unfairly and so wrong. And well, we don't know exactly if she had like these mental health issues. We don't know what she was diagnosed with. It never, it, like in all of our reading, it never says she was diagnosed with anything.
Yeah.
But clearly there was something going on with her. And for her to go from that restaurant to the county jail and all of those people in between, no one was like, something's going on with this girl, and maybe we should wait for someone to come pick her up is crazy. That's crazy. When you look at her and you see photos of her, it's not like, like, come on, you could tell like a fucking crackhead that's like, okay, bro, you need to leave out this, out of here.
She looked well put together. She's pretty. I mean, I'm staring at a photo of her right now.
Like, yeah.
She was young, period.
Right, right.
She was a young girl, young adult, they treated her so unfairly.
They treated her so unfairly, and that's terrible. So we did take down some notes here that I wanted to just like pull out. So Michael, you know, her father, he called the mayor of Malibu to demand that more be done in the investigation. Mayor Andy Stern, who was the mayor at the time, who was also a real estate mogul, which is like, sure, but doesn't it seem like whatever. That's another subject. Okay. He seemed very uninterested in the case. So Michael called Mayor Stern's real estate number, pretended to be a famous football player trying to buy a house, and insisted that they meet in person. They met, and the mayor was so embarrassed because he saw that he wasn't a famous football player, but he was actually the father of Maitrice Richardson. He immediately put up a $15,000 reward for any clues in Maitrice's case. As we see, I don't think anything came from that. But isn't it crazy how, like, he was so uninterested? But when it came to money, he was like, oh, yeah, let's meet.
Here you go.
And then he was so embarrassed that whatever, that it was the guy. And then he just put up that reward. It's fucked up. He put up that reward out of embarrassment. So that tells me if you put up a reward out of embarrassment, you could have put up a lot more if you really cared.
So this is a throwaway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And it does show, too, like, her father, Michael, he obviously put in that fucking work. He fought that fucking system and made sure that he met with the mayor. And I think that's important when we see it a lot, especially now with, like, the boom of social media. It's easier to share a loved one that may be missing.
Yeah.
Because it seems like more people are going missing, but I don't think more people are going missing. I think we're just able to see it more. Do that.
Yeah.
Like, do that. If someone is missing and you just feel like the local police are not doing their job or, like, whatever, like, you need answers, fucking do that. Find your way through the system.
Yeah.
It's not always going to be easy, but fucking do that shit because he did it. And guess what? Like, he got the mayor of Malibu to do something. Unfortunately, nothing came of it, but at least he knows that he tried, you know, and that was for his daughter. Letice, her mother filed a wrongful death lawsuit, and it wasn't for the money, but she sued because, and I quote, "This magical lawsuit will allow me to obtain every single document in the hands of LAPD and to depose every officer and detective involved." So I wanted to point that out. I thought that that was an important note because, you know, they did settle for $90,000. And a lot of people might say, like, oh, they're just, like, they just did that for the money and, like, whatever. First of all, money isn't going to bring your daughter back. So no amount of money is going to make this okay.
It's
$900,000. Oh, $900,000. Yeah, even more. Okay, so, but even then, she made it clear, like, I am not, like, doing this for the money. I'm not suing you guys for the money. I'm suing because all of the information that you're not giving me, all of the documents that I should be able to freely get about my daughter, I'm not getting. So I need that information so that I can do what's really right. And since none of y'all are being indicted on any of the fuck shit that you have done, like, throughout my daughter's case, I'm gonna make sure that that shit is brought to the forefront.
Yeah.
And I just think that there needs to be a lot of people that do that. I think it's so easy to give up because especially in California, I mean, in everywhere, but in California, that LAPD, oh my gosh, they know how to fucking finagle their way out of anything. It's crazy,
right?
So yeah, try your best to get those documents, and I know that shit is expensive to do that, but when you win a $900,000 case, you can afford a little bit to go. For sure.
Absolutely.
But yeah, you guys, that is the case of Maitrice Richardson. Unfortunately, that case has been closed, but we wanted to share it because look at it, all the fuck shit that happened.
Yeah.
Between the time she arrived to the restaurant to the time that they found her body. To after her death.
During, like, why take her when she was in Malibu, arrested in Malibu, why take her to Bakersfield County, essentially?
Why take her to Bakersfield County? Who was the person that she was looking for with the tattoos when she got to the restaurant?
Yeah.
The guy that found her on her stoop and they saw her footprints. What happened with that?
Yeah.
When they found her body, they didn't do any testing of any evidence around the site. What happened with that? It's just like there are so many unanswered questions.
So many. Yeah.
So many.
Wow.
Well,
this is
Cocktail Murder.
Cocktail Murder. This is what we do. We've missed you guys so much. Thank you. Listen, thank you so much for tuning in.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for understanding our hiatus, our break. But also, honestly, I'll give a formal shout out to we posted his message to us.
Yeah.
the renowned president of the Cocktail Murder Club.
Our fan club.
Yeah, of our fan club. And, he had mentioned that, him including, I'm sure, a lot of people missed us. And
yeah, I will say that, when we logged back into our Cocktail Murder Instagram and we saw the DMs of everyone that were just like,
what's going on?
What's happening? Yeah. Where's the new episode? Where's this? I was dumbfounded. I was just like, oh my God, y'all really fuck with us.
Yeah,
like that. Wow. I think that that's so dope. I think when we made the announcement that we were coming back and we received so much love and so many people who were like, yeah, we've been waiting.
Yeah.
I have to tell you guys, we had no idea that you guys fucked with us this heavy. And it just makes us want to go harder.
Because, social media numbers is one thing, but to actually have personal messages, it hits a lot different.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh shit, let's jump back into it, but full throttle.
And I just loved the fucking the DMs from our OGs, people who have been rocking with us
since the beginning.
I think that that's so dope because we already knew that you guys have been fucking with us from when we first started our lives on IG,
Right.
And for you guys to still be rocking with us and fucking with us and still, when we take a long hiatus or whatever, a hiatus, and you guys are we've been waiting. I think that it's just, it's heartwarming, it's dope, and it really makes me excited to jump back in.
And, we're excited for the new chapter of Cocktail Murder.
Yes, we have so much in store!
Yeah, and I feel like we've been saying that, but no, I think this time it's, things are starting to come into fruition. And so we're just excited to just continue to walk with this. And until then, let's cheers it out to the next murder.
To the next murder. The streets need a body.
The streets need a body. Right. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Oh, we have to do the clink clink. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Let's cheers it out to the next murder. Clink clink.